Sunshine. Spoiler alert.
Is that Sting?
That, yes, the police, and that figures prominently in last night's episode of The Penguin. I'm sure you didn't watch, because you were probably in bed last night, Sean.
I was in bed before halftime of that Jets game.
Oh, I got to watch that today.
Excellent. Wiggy, excellent.
All right,
excellent.
I'm going to watch it today.
A little bit of a comeback. I didn't like the episode before.
All right.
But from my perspective, made a comeback last night.
All right.
What, Curtis?
Have you seen the screener that Ken sent us?
I have not watched it yet.
I enjoyed it. I'm almost done. And put that on in the background while I was watching The Patriots' Demise. And there are things in the Netflix documentary 20 years after the 04 Sox said by John Henry when he first became the owner about John Harrington that you could say today about John Henry.
Mm. Yes.
And the inability for him to understand that is shocking.
Now, that is, Curtis is referring to The Comeback, is that what it's called?
The Comeback. It's a three-part series. It is excellent, minus, I give it an A because that's just the 04 Sox, but minus the first 20 minutes, which all these series do where it's like bad Boston accent, fake fans talking about the curse. Yeah. Like, we know it.
Yeah. And I think that debuts on Wednesday, I believe, on Netflix. And it's all at once, so you can
get
you
all three episodes.
You can binge, right? All right. Let's get to this, Shine.
Mm-hmm. It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
We are at Gillette Stadium. It's a Patriots Monday. Boomer Esiason coming up at 8 with his thoughts on this week in the NFL. And then Gerard Mayo will join us here at around 9 this morning. But right now, what they said over the weekend, where would you like to begin this morning, Sean?
Yeah, Greg, let's begin with Jameis Winston talking about Deshaun Watson yesterday after the game. Deshaun Watson went down with an apparent popped Achilles, and the fans kind of reacted with like some cheers and some boos. It was kind of a weird thing for the Cleveland fans. Jameis Winston was not happy about it. Here's what he said in support of Deshaun Watson.
I'm grateful that I had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him for the past 4 years. And he put his body and life on the line for this city every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you thought should happen with him. He committed every single day that I've been here to be the best that he can be for this team. And I know I come from the deep south, Birmingham, Alabama, Bessemer, Alabama. So I know the standard that hungry fans want. But the way I was raised, I will never pull on a man when he's down. I tell myself every morning, what I want for myself, I want for everyone. And I do not want the treatment that Deshaun Watson has received from these passionate fans. I know you love this game, but Deshaun was treated badly. And now he has to overcome another obstacle. So I'm going to support him. I'm going to lift him up. And I'm going to be there for him.
Okay.
James. I mean, wow. Miles Garrett also was talking about how what a guy Deshaun Watson, I'm paraphrasing, but what a guy he was on and off the field. Like, I mean, I get it. Fans probably should not be cheering somebody getting hurt or booing him while he's lying on the ground. But at the same time, they're doing it because of the other stuff.
Yeah, like, that's classless, though. Separate the two.
Yeah, I don't think you should cheer or boo if somebody gets hurt. Like, you should keep that stuff separate, like what you said. But Jameis, it falls on deaf ears when you look at your track record off the field. Like, for somebody who loves the game and worked for a conference that Jameis played for while Jameis was playing there and went through reporting on everything that he was accused of, like, that's when I'm like, dude, why do you feel like you should be the mouthpiece to talk about this?
And the world was against him, it seems, for reasons that are not too wrong, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah.
He's not some martyr.
No.
I mean, yeah, but I think Jameis is just like separate the two. But the problem is people can't separate the two. That becomes the issue.
Is that the worst contract in NFL history?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's not even close.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I mean, is he done? Like, will he play again next year?
I think he's done.
They must owe him $100 million. Yeah. Like, how much was guaranteed?
$230 million. I think he still tries to play. But I don't know, when I say it's not even the physical part of it, I think the mental part has got to him, and that's where I think he's done in that element. So even if he does come back, I just think mentally he's not the same, and you know, he might be a backup at best, but he's done in that element of being a good quarterback that we once saw.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's go from one athlete being upset with fans to another former athlete who's upset with a player. Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce do their podcast together.
Okay.
And Kevin Garnett went off on Joel Embiid and his like load management and not playing a lot of games and practices. Kevin Garnett was not happy.
What do you think is a good number of games he played?
82 games, man. This is what the job calls for. You're not practicing. You're not even playing a whole you don't play in the summer.
Right.
I can see if you playing in the summer, you're on the playground, you went to the Olympics, then it's training camp. Y'all do 30 days of tour days. Okay, that's when you get rest. Man, I don't want to hear this, man. Can sit out a back-to-backs. Hey, listen, we're done with that comparison of the era. We're going to respect this era and what it does, and that's it. Don't compare nobody and none of this because you can't. If you ain't played, man, listen.
I think that's going to hurt Philly.
That's going to hurt Philly from a, not even that. But, bro, one night I got P, next P, next night I ain't got him.
I love it. Like, you have to pay so much. These fans pay so much to go to these NBA games, mm-hmm. and they don't get to see their stars.
No. And like he said, it's just a different era. You know, he played 82 maybe back in his day. And, you know, I do the same thing with guys that when I watch football and I watch the NFL, it's just it's a different era. And yeah, we could sit here on our, like, what do they say, old man yelling at the lawn or whatever the hell it is.
Well, yelling close. At clouds.
Yelling at clouds, yelling at the lawn. It doesn't make a difference. We sit here and we bitch and complain about it. But the era is different. I just hate to say it. You know, it's like I enjoy football today as a fan, but I understand the era is different. I don't knock them because this is their era. At times, I question them.
But what about when you hear Paul Pierce say that Embiid is hurting his team's chances?
Well, they don't feel that way. They don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Do you think they care about the regular season?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think it's so sad for me because it's like it's not that I'm balding or I'm bald or I'm gray if I do have hair or I sound like this. The best sign that you're old are the people you watched growing up and loved sounding like that old fan. Like,
yeah.
Sounding like the get off my lawn. Like, I love Kevin Garnett. Nobody was better for that 07 team than he was. But it's like, because of you, Kevin, and the $150 million deal you got, rightfully so, these guys are making all the money. Right. I mean, you're going to have a case where players are valued more than their franchise.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable, the NBA. Yeah.
Mark Cuban said you might see a billion-dollar player.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But
he also said the world was going to end in 2015.
Well, I didn't know he said that. But I also think that...
Also, not a good look with the glasses and the hair. I don't know what he's trying...
What happened to him?
I don't know.
He became this ultra-political operative.
Yeah. But I think the thing that in basketball and just in sports in general, I think guys like Joel Embiid, they might have respected KG... But I don't even really think they care about his opinion because for them, when he played, it was like, bro, that was light years ago. Like, so even when we talk about Mayo being a former player, you really think these guys know about Mayo as a player or Tom Brady as a player?
I would hope they do.
Right, they don't.
It wasn't that long ago that Jerod Mayo played Wiggy.
But if they don't, because you said, and I told you about training camp for all teams NFL, they did a funny thing with the Kansas City Chiefs where guys were walking out and they said, who's the greatest basketball player of all time, Jordan or LeBron? You know how many guys were saying LeBron?
Well, that's what you say.
No, I say still Jordan. Okay. But guys don't. They don't know and care about these players. For them, it's like They're like Sting or the Beatles. They're this like, who the hell is that?
This isn't a slight to you. It's just facts. Like, right. When we've had players, current players, that call the show, and you right. always say, you know, the snow game and Wiggy,
that.
Jermaine Wiggins.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. They're like, what's that? The snow game. Like, what the hell is that? Unless Belichick puts it up in the meeting, what he used to do, these guys don't know about the snow game. They don't give a crap about that. I mean, they really don't. Yeah. So I think Joel Embiid's probably sitting there going,
Who's Kevin Garnett?
I don't think he's at that point of who's Kevin Garnett, but he's probably like, listen, man, when you played, that was like a long time ago.
Yeah. All right, what else, Shine?
Well, Greg, I think it's only appropriate that we hear from my guy post-game, Drake May. He started the game real hot, and then unfortunately for him in the second half, the Patriots possessed the ball for 8.5 minutes out of the total 30 possible minutes in the second half. And so here was Drake on starting fast but needing to be more consistent.
Yeah, but I think other than maybe one or two other games this season, we just, we hadn't started fast in a while. It kind of was something new for us. Proud of the guys for starting fast. I think I had, KB open on, the third down there, on the second drive, maybe punch one in, punch another one in, and, maybe a different ball game. So maybe, a couple throws here and there, for me as well. And then other than that, we just got to, I guess, just find out, ways to, get first downs. And I feel like the Jags did a nice job of, time possession. Shoot, we had for a while there in the second half, one drive the whole half until the end. So credit to them. And then just got to, work harder, find something different.
I like that kid.
I like that. I like the way he presents himself. And he said, went on to say that they're not tough enough. And
right.
And he includes himself in
right.
it. And he, you can't say anything. If there's one guy that you can't say anything bad about yesterday, it's Drake May.
Yeah.
I mean, and the play calling is not his. So
no. I mean, he's going to make some mistakes. There are a couple throws you're like,
but it's
whatever.
Not really.
Yeah, there was a couple.
There were two yesterday.
Dropped interceptions. You were like, whew.
Yeah, the goal line.
The crossing right across the field that he was threw off his back foot was a terrible throw and should have been a pick six, but it wasn't. He got lucky. And then the other one by the end zone to Hooper, it was like a miscommunication. I think he thought Hooper was going to sit, but instead Hooper ran the corner, and so he just threw it directly at the safety.
But those don't bother me because he is young and he's still growing.
He didn't throw anything like Purdy threw. Holy cow.
Oh, my God. That guy stinks. Holy smokes.
I love the way he talks about how he could have did this or he could have did better at this or there was his fault. Like that shows accountability. It is interesting to see this whole soft element thing, though, because I know it's – because as a player, when your coach calls you soft, you tend to question what that – like. What are you saying? Like,
well,
I'm turning stuff down.
Well, he's doing it, I assume, to call them out.
Right.
That's what Gerard Mayo has. I guess he'll tell you when he gets in here, and we will talk a lot about it with him. He's going to tell you that he's reached the point 7 games in where he needs to call these guys out publicly. He did it. Drake May said he did it in the locker room. Jelani Tavai said he did it. Said the exact same thing to them in the locker room that he said to the media. So,
Is it a message now though? Not to the players as much as it is the people he works for.
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, why are you sharing that publicly as opposed to just saying it to the?
No, I'm saying that Gerard Mayo didn't pick the roster. He thinks the roster is soft. He's tried telling the players that. It hasn't worked. I'm not saying I agree. I'm not agreeing.
So he's telling the media.
No, that, like, we built a soft team. Elliot Wolf.
But I think you're looking at soft as talent. When I think I don't think he means.
But if you have a soft player, it doesn't matter if they're talented.
I think he's talking about effort.
He's talking about effort.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, soft. Are you turning down tackles because you don't want to stick your nose in there? And you're being soft because we're down by 10 points.
Yes. I think I took it as that.
Right. Versus where
no, I agree. That's what it is. But if a player is soft, you wouldn't want them on your team.
No. I understand that. But, like, there's an element.
Well, Curtis, he coached most of these guys on his defense last year.
I know. My question today is going to be, I hope he doesn't, prepare for this, but it's pretty simple. Was the team soft last year?
Yeah. I mean, that's the question.
Because how do you answer that? And then why were you wanting to have this job to coach all these players if they were soft?
Because he brought up the punt return, and he brought up the rush yards, and he brought up the inability to run. So that might mean, like on the punt return, I don't think it's because people were soft. I just think that they out-schemed you, did a better job, but are you seeing on film guys actually turning down plays? Remember we talked about the Jack Jones?
Yes.
Where he didn't want to get in there? If I'm sitting there and I'm watching that as a coach, like, that's soft. Right. Yeah. If you just miss a tackle and the guy runs through you and you're not able to get him a down or you have poor technique, that don't necessarily mean that you're soft.
Right.
So that's where I'm trying to figure out. A guy's like just like turning stuff down, and you could see that on film. Like, wow, these guys – it goes back to your point, Courtney, of pride, but more so not trying.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's what he's saying. I mean, I there have been guys – you brought up Devon Godchow. He has said that they weren't playing with pride.
But I see, mean, that falls back on Mayo. Because if
it
a
does.
Guy, if
it's
a guy's,
all on him.
If a guy's playing soft or he's,
I mean, it's on the players, but it's, but it, but that's his job.
No, it's on the players. But if a guy is turning down, and Courtney was the only one that was on this, if he's turning down stuff or he's not playing with pride or he's being lazy, then it's your job as the coach to sit his ass on the bench,
yeah,
and let the other guy play. But you talked about that with Ramondre Stevenson, where you're like, oh, he's fumbling. Fumbling, we're going to sit him down, but you
for
sat him down.
Would you want Jalen Polk on this football team today if you were him, if you were the head coach?
No, I would sit his ass down. I would sit his ass down and play schooler before I play Jalen Polk. Even though Polk is the better player, has more talent, it's about guys buying in.
But why
I'll take a guy, and this is the difference. Bill will take a guy who buys in with less talent,
yeah,
totally,
than a guy who has more talent who don't buy in.
But why do you think Jalen Polk remains on the roster?
Well, because he's basically your first pick in the second round.
Right.
You can't cut him.
Who picked him?
Well, Elliot Wolf of them picked him.
Who told Jerod Mayo he can't start Drake May week one?
Well, Elliot, I'm with you on that.
So aren't you getting what I'm saying here? That the organization is running as dysfunctional as it's ever been after an offseason where they said they were all about collaboration.
Right. Yeah.
And we sit here today where all of what you're saying is right. That is soft play.
Right.
But Mayo's like, what? How can I win if you're using a pick on this guy who not only sucks, if it's possible, he's a worse teammate,
right,
than he is, yeah, a receiver.
But he was good. And listen, he was good in Washington. Some guys just are not good when they get to the NFL. When he was at Washington, the Huskies.
Well, that's the job of the college director.
No, but you're going to miss on guys. Like, you're going to
miss on Tyquan Thornton. It's the same pick.
No, I understand that. But I don't blame Elliot Wolf for Jalen Polk's performance. He picks a guy that he thinks can play at this level and looks like he has all the tools and all the talent, all the skill level. But Jalen Polk mentally is in his head when it comes to him catching the football.
That's a big part, though. Isn't the mental aspect of it and how guys handle themselves or how they present themselves? Like, why even have interviews with these guys if you don't care about how they can handle, seasons that may not go in their favor? I think that you are able to look at a player, take talent out of it, and be able to decide, all right, this is a guy who can buy in to whatever we want them to buy in on and is not going to go on Instagram after a terrible loss where you sucked,
uh-huh,
and put a black screen with .. peace
but
out.
But how are they supposed to know that?
I think you're able to tell. That's your job.
But if the player's never had any issue, how are you supposed to?
That's not an issue. It's not like he was getting arrested.
No,
personality-wise, I think it takes a certain personality that says, I'm above this.
But I guess if you're Elliot Wolf, you don't know that when you're interviewing the guy at the combine and you go to see him and he's telling you all the right, Courtney, you've been on a million job interviews, telling you all the right things. You don't know how a person is until you get in the building.
Mm.
Like, you don't.
But that's
know.
Why you check references, Wiggy.
Yeah.
You don't just
right.
talk to the
but
person. You talk to other people around him.
Guess what?
Why do the Steelers always draft receivers later than the Patriots that are better than the guys the Patriots
think?
Because the Steelers know how to do it.
Right.
But they also hit on a guy. Just some guys can play and some guys
but
can't.
When was the last time this team took a guy in the second round that could play receiver?
Now, listen, I understand what you're saying and I agree with you there.
Some of them are the best quarterback and coach of all time coaching.
But guess what? They hit on Pop Douglas.
In the sixth round.
They hit on Booty.
Yeah.
So it's not.
I mean,
I think Booty looks
a little
good.
Early.
Yeah, but what I'm saying in the sense that they look good, like Jalen Polk, he looks like he can't catch a cold.
Right.
And he's an asshat to boot.
Yes.
Like, give me a break. Mm-hmm. Best hands in the NFL.
Ugh.
Right.
Try standing up long enough to catch the football when you're, near the end zone.
I haven't felt that, fan rage in a while, but
yeah.
Watching him is enraging.
Nuts. All right, we're going to take a break. We're at Gillette Stadium. It's a Patriots Monday. Boomer Esiason will join us coming up at 8:00.